You know, about a year ago, I remember the sudden excitement in the crop circle community about the measuring of electrostatic charges. I remember that suddenly that was the answer. We were going to be able to separate the real, true crop circles from the man-made baloney. And that was going to be our savior in doing that. Well, maybe not then, is the answer, I guess. According to what you just said, Doctor, it was, so is that right? In other words, electrostatic measurement is not going to be the key to judging the reality. The origin of a crop circle, man's hand or not?
No, I think that's right, Art. I don't think you can easily tell the origin of a crop formation. I think it's been assumed in the research community that if you get weird effects around a crop circle, it had to have a very weird cause. And I think what we're learning now is that the crop circle itself, just the shape in a living material, actually has effects on the surrounding field and in the crop circle that produce weird effects, but it doesn't necessarily mean that something strange had to come down into the field to do that. It's just that the circle itself, well, I think it acts like a, you know, like a crystal radio. Did you play with those when you were a kid? The radios have a crystal in it, and you don't need a battery. It just seems to operate, you know, with just the power of the radio wave coming through the crystal.
You know I did, Simeon.
Yeah, I bet you did. And
listen, so let's get down to cases. Crop circles.
Sure.
How many crop circles are, without question, not man-made?
We have to talk about the time period. I think before the 90s, I think a large percentage of them were non-man-made. You know, they go back in history thousands of years, and they're, you know, references in the Dead Sea Scrolls to strange lights in the fields and
sure.
strange markings. And
sure.
The mowing devil in the 1600s in England. And even in our own century, the Tully saucer nests in Australia, and they also had them in New Zealand at the same time. I've spoken to people that have had friends that have seen UFOs in the vicinity where crop circles were found the next day, swirled
right.
areas of,
right.
of grass and wheat. And, you know, there's a wonderful book that documents this, the Secret History of Crop Circles. And it talks about all the pre-modern crop circles, which are really interesting. Most of these, though, I want to point out, are simple circles or groups of circles. They're not the elaborate patterns that we tend to see today.
Yes, so but without question, Doctor, I'm just a layman, but I've watched crop circles very carefully, and in my estimation, there have been a few that it would have been completely, totally impossible for man to have made. I mean, I know of no other way to put it. You look at them, and there's just no blinking way.
I would have thought the same thing several years ago.
And now you don't.
I don't. I have met the human circle makers. In Opening Minds, I document how I saw them make a circle at night. They operate with a military precision that you would not believe.
Do you now believe that all crop circles are man-made?
No, no. I think there are some that are not made by people. But I believe, and I'm not alone in this, I mean, I believe that the elaborate artistic ones that we enjoy looking at so much, the big elaborate artistic ones,
yes.
are the work of human circle-making artists. They're not hoaxes. These are people that believe in what they call natural magic. They believe in subtle energies one way or another because they believe that if they go out and make a crop circle like that, it will create magic that all of us can enjoy together. It creates it while they are making the circle. They see balls of light and UFOs and have strange experiences. They see shadow people when they're in the crop circles making them. They have strange experiences with time change. Either the group that I was with in the Cheryl Formation, which I document in Opening Minds, the Cheryl 2000 Formation, they apparently gained about 45 minutes of time. They all seem to experience this. I wasn't wearing a watch, so I can't verify, but they believe this happened. It's not uncommon, and this is what keeps them doing this. And they make it because they believe that people who come into the circles later will have magical experiences, and this is good for us to experience. So, yes, the answer to your question is, there was a time when I didn't believe humans could do it either, because I have heard all the evidence, many of the evidence from your show and other places, that architectural firms had, you know, it would take them 4 days in the daytime to do this. You're familiar with all those stories.
I am, Simeon, and so how could man have done some of these? I mean, they're so intricate, so large, so massive. The simple scale of them would preclude anything but an army of well-trained people from doing them.
You know, these people have been working on these for about 10 years. There are at least about 10 groups in England that are working throughout the summer to make these. You can see them on documentary. Some of them are interviewed on Larry Newman's new documentary, Circle Speak, which we should all get a hold of. It's a very balanced presentation of the whole phenomenon. You will hear interviews with circle makers, Circle Speak. It's a new video about it. And I have no connection to this. I just think it's a good presentation. I didn't think it was possible for them to do this until I saw them work at night. And believe me, Art, the wheat goes down very quickly with those stomper boards. And after 10 years of practice, they have gotten very, very good. If you'll notice early on in the crop circle season, the circles will be relatively simple, and they get more complex towards August.
Yeah, oh, yes.
They're practicing, and they're learning, and by the summer, after the winter, you know, they're a little rusty, they get better, and I'm totally convinced now that the big complicated ones, all of them, I believe, are made by human circle-making teams.
And only the simple ones.
Ironically, the simple ones seem to be still the work of some other unknown force. And the circle makers that I know have said, Simeon, before the 1990s, before the Doug and Dave era, you know, the two guys from the pub, they were actually artists. They were, I think they had some pretty decent motivations for doing it. They weren't really hoaxing. They were interested in making art. But nonetheless, they said, we don't know who was making them in the early 80s. What could have been extraterrestrials? And I believe that crop circles are a language that were taught to us by extraterrestrials or some other type of intelligence to encourage people eventually to learn how to do this.
But, Doctor, let's talk about the scale, please.
Yep.
I've looked at some of these, and over 10 acres, for example, I mean, just monstrous things that are so intricate, no footprints around. I want to know how they do it without a trace.
In England, you have an advantage because there are these so-called tram lines, the lines that the tractors use to go down to the field.
Yes.
We don't have them in the United States, but these tram lines allow you to enter into the field without actually walking on the wheat. You can walk down the tram lines, and you'll notice many crop formations are positioned along the tram lines. Now, researchers have said, well, that was the greater intelligence positioning those circles just in the right way to the tram lines. It's really the way the circle makers get into the fields without leaving footprints. If you want a larger circle, you just get more and more people. You remember the big one from Mill Kill 2001, the mother of all crop circles.
I surely do.
I don't want to disillusion people. I believe these circles are still real, as I've said, whether no matter who makes them. They have these strange effects, and we can talk about that in a moment. But that particular circle was made by between 10 and 15 people. They were up high on a hill, on the downs, as they say in England, which is actually a hill in our language. They probably had about 8 hours to work, and they don't care if it's raining, to be honest. They're going to do that circle anyway. It's very wet and cold no matter, you know, what the weather conditions are in the summer there. And they believe in these enough. They're that motivated, let me put it that way, that they will go out and make those circles. And even though to our eyes it looks impossible, so does the Sistine Chapel, you know.
What about
and lots
the work
of other amazing...
All right, what about the work of Dr. Levengood?
Yes.
In other words, the molecular changes in the stalks, and the stalks not breaking as one continually demonstrates they would with the board effect. I mean, these things are just laid down. They're not broken, and then we have detectable molecular changes. How do they do that?
Well, W.C. Levengood, I think we found out recently that he isn't actually a doctor. He's a research scientist. So.
Okay.
Levengood. The flaw in that line of research, as far as I'm concerned, is that it makes an assumption that if you get molecular changes to the plant, there had to be some sort of energy beaming itself into the plant to do that, right? Because if we put those plants in a microwave oven and we microwave them, we're going to get the same results.
Bingo.
But it's also possible, and I think this has to be tested as a, you know, as another possibility, that once you make the crop formation, that different energies are going to be operating in that field. And again, this is consistent with what we know from subtle energy science, with the science of a conditioned space, as it's called. The energy patterns change. It could perhaps be due to the electrostatic charges or some other types of energy that we don't know. But when you have that shape in the field, the plants begin to change. I actually have pictures right now up on the Opening Minds website of a formation we made last summer in the Cherhill area of England, where we paid the farmer, went and made the formation, and we got bent notes. And I have pictures of those bent notes up on the website, and you can see them. I went back the next day, and they were already there. What that's caused by is the plant trying to kind of raise itself up into a vertical position again.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of things about plants that I don't think we understand, and I think to make the arguments that the BLT team has made, you need to have the proper controls in place. It's very simple to do that, Art. You just need to make a lot of man-made circles, preferably around the same time in the same area where you find the other ones,
And
honestly, test those plants too. I'm not talking about one or two man-made formations. I'm talking like a good sample size, like 30, like we're trying to do. Make a lot of them, and then compare the results and just see for yourself. Are they really different or are they the same from the ones that we don't really know the authorship? Another thing that happens in plants are what are called heat shock proteins. When you put a plant into stress, different types of proteins are produced to try to help the plant through that stress, and those have a very strong effect on the plant. Those sorts of chemicals could also affect the molecular structure.
Okay, so you're saying no matter man-made, alien-made, earth environment-made, whatever causes this to happen is perhaps not even important. What is important is the effect that's created when they're made.
Yes. I have seen personally, and I'm a skeptical person like you are, but I have seen so many weird things around crop circles, Art. They're real.
Fine. Let's hear about them. What have you seen around crop circles, man-made or otherwise?
Okay. Let's go back to 1999, when we were just learning that humans could even make some of this. And I didn't believe it back in 99, but I learned about it in 2000. We visited a formation called the Devil's Den Formation. People that are familiar with crop circles will know this formation. It happened near a dolmen that's called, you know, the Devil's Den, because Christians named it that way. It was a pagan, a Celtic burial mound.
Yeah.
I went in there. I was actually with Masao Maki, the crop circle researcher from Japan. All of our batteries failed at the same time.
Oh,
and
yes.
Everyone who came into that formation, their batteries all failed, and I got it on videotape before my camcorder batteries failed. In total, I know of at least 5 sets of batteries that failed in that formation. And this is the most amazing thing. I mean, someone went to Mallory Battery Factory, and they said, what could do this, okay?
And what did they say?
The only thing that they knew about that could cause batteries to fail like that was nuclear radiation.
Nuclear radiation.
But there isn't any nuclear radiation in crop circles. People have gone in with Geiger counters time and time again. And as far as I know, I mean, someone can correct me, I don't think anyone's found any nuclear radiation. It's some sort of other effect, and again, I want to suggest it could be an electrostatic effect or the subtle energy effect. I've seen that happen with my own eyes, and when you see everyone's devices that are brand new, and again, those pictures are on my website, the Opening Minds website also. You can see the pictures of the batteries that just failed. The Devil's information. When you see that with your own eyes, you'll know that crop circles are real. Now, we later found out about 2 years later who the author of that particular circle was, with a very reasonable degree of certainty. Because after a while, you get to know all of these different teams. If you're considered trustworthy, they'll all begin to talk to you.
So there is nothing about, for example, an electrostatic charge being able to do what you just talked about, killing batteries.
No, I know. So what could be doing it? There is another energy in crop formations. Let me just tell you something about when this happened. The startling thing to me was that my batteries failed in my static electricity measuring device and in my camcorders. And I'm talking at the edge of the circle, Art. I mean, literally the edge. It's talking something 200 feet, and you just crossed into it, you know, just over the edge of where the weed is still standing, where it's pushed down.
Yes.
And blip, all the batteries are gone. It's like there's a wall of energy there. And it's real enough to affect your equipment, and you know, you can feel it, too. Sometimes people are in there, and they say, I really feel charged.
Yeah.
Or that sometimes they make you feel kind of sick. And dowsers will go in there, and their dowsing rods will start moving around. And the most amazing thing to me was in this Devil's Den formation, a dowser came in, and where she got the largest change in her dowsing rods was exactly where I had measured the largest static charge. Believe it or not, it's in the smallest circles, not in the biggest ones, where you get that big charge change. Now, again, I don't know if you're suggesting that the electrostatic charge can't affect the batteries, and I don't know enough about, you know, about the science of charges, but something else
I don't either. I just, you know, normal common sense tells me an electrostatic charge in the air, no, wouldn't affect a battery's charge. I don't see how. Anyway, what else has happened within these circles?
what people have seen a lot, and you've heard about this, of course, and the listeners, Coast listeners have heard about this, the balls of light. These are actually seen while people are making crop formations.
That's right. Now, you're telling me that in the man-made formations, the crop circle makers are doing this to bring on exactly this kind of phenomena. So
yes.
They want to see these balls of light.
Yes. They want to see the balls of light, the UFOs, whatever else happens to come in. And to be honest, the results sometimes terrify them.
There was a scientist who recently determined that a ball of plasma balls, can exist in the atmosphere and appear to be, for reasons inexplicable to them, energy sustaining. In other words, they continue to generate enough energy to keep this plasma ball going. You know, it should dissipate, it should go away or explode or do something, but instead it keeps going. Now, where is that energy coming from to sustain these plasma balls, which might explain lights? I don't know.
It's a great question. We don't really know.
Yeah,
they
know.
Seem to be intelligently controlled. You've seen the videos.
I have, actually, yes. And for those who haven't, explain what it looks like.
Typically, and there's about 12 good videos that I think are the real thing that tourists and other people have taken, just happen to be around those areas where the crop circles are. Something will come over the hill, and it will move right towards the crop formation. It will speed up. It will slow down. It will make right-angle turns.
Mm-hmm.
In one case, a video that was taken by Steve Alexander, I think back in 1990 or 91, it actually went from one crop circle over to another crop circle about a half mile away. These, I measured the speed of one of these near Barbary Castle from 1999. There's a pretty famous video from that one. The thing was moving nearly 200 miles an hour once it started to speed up. Now, no birds fly that fast unless some of them when they're, you know, direct dive, but nothing moves that fast that I know right above the wheat. It looks like it's intelligently controlled, and I'm confident it's either a life form that we don't understand or it's someone's probe to investigate these crop formations. Because they're intelligently controlled, and yet they're being attracted to man-made formations as well as the other type also.
Huh.
So
do you believe they are a product of them, or the formations, that is, and these lights are a product of the formations, or they are simply a phenomena observing the fact that one of these has been made? In other words, by making one of them, we have attracted someone's attention. Which do you think it is?
I think it's the latter.
Oh, you really do?
Absolutely. In the videos, they come over the hill. I mean, they come from out of nowhere. And, you know, in the Steve Alexander video, there, you know, right before he started filming, he said it actually went into the formation and it was like exploring it, like right down in the wheat. It disappeared for a few seconds and then it popped out again. And then it goes to another formation. And then it's seen passing over a tractor. And the tractor stalled. The tractor driver saw it. And he said it looked like a large, luminous beach ball. Now, he is driving a diesel tractor. They don't have much electrical stuff going on in them at all. There's not much electronics in the diesel tractor, but it stalled anyway, and then it just started again. You can see it on the video. You can see the tractor stopping, and then it starts up. They have an electrical property that can affect equipment, and they also, I mean, they look intelligently controlled. And so I don't think that the crop circle is creating them. I think the crop circle is attracting them. There are other cases where circle makers have told me they went into a crop formation, they started to make one, and balls of light showed up, and they actually ran out of there in terror because it frightened them. So sometimes they show up and say, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be making this. That's another possibility.
Uh-huh.
And that happens sometimes. So they show up before the crop circle's even finished, but someone is watching those crop circles. I don't know whether it's extraterrestrials in the upper atmosphere wondering what the humans are doing down on Earth or what, or it's a life form that's indigenous to the planet, as some people believe, but they're real, and you can see them for yourself on the videos.
Hold it right there. Dr. Simeon Hine is my guest. We're discussing crop circles, ones made by humans, ones made by, well, we just don't know. Anyway, the phenomena associated, actually, with both. From the high desert, I'm Art Bell, and this is Coast to Coast AM.